Soho Boulevard, rain lace paving stones, tattoo parlor neon, like turn a shade of gold. That's the wild of the night, that's the flame in your eyes, bless that love you gave me before you cried. Last tube to Brixton, we will glide with a light. Move to the beat on the street, electric avenue tonight, don't you let burden drag you down and shout out to London town. Waterloo sunset melts us. Terry and Julie walk on. Beauty never dies, it just keep us holding on. London skyline laced with diamonds intertwined. Our spirits are defined by the poetry of the night. Lover with tattooed flesh, I devour her love, she is wild but starry-eyed against the dynamo of the night. Don't you let burden drag you down. Shout out to London town. Don't you let your burden drag you down. Shout out to London town. Still taste my first kiss in a Brixton ray before the first train of tomorrow. It takes us all away with wide eyes and smiles, and I don't love you for the while to tear it down. Oh, you're London, London town, London town.
A track that was a single and then also a track that's on the album, and we welcome back for the third time to the Raven and the Blues, Sean Taylor.
Lovely to be here, thanks for having me.
That, when I first heard it when it came out as a single, was just, I felt so emotional, I hadn't realised at the time it was then going to be an album, which was kind of themed around the same thing, a love affair with the town you live in London. That's a track called London. How did the writing come about? How did you suddenly think, I really must write about the town I live in?
Well, I spend a lot of time away from home, like if it's recording. I mean, I recorded the album in Austin, Texas, and I'd recorded the previous album, Love Against Death, in Austin, Texas. And I'd spent a lot of time this year, like, for example, I toured Australia and spent a lot of time traveling all up and down the country playing gigs. So I spend a lot of time away from home. So I kind of think about, you know, what I'm missing and what I'm coming back to. So I don't know. I think as well, a lot of albums tend to talk a lot about kind of the countryside, if you like, especially in things like folk music.
Yes.
There's certain blues records that talk about the city, but I love the city. I love London. It's just home, you know.
Because you wrote a song shortly after the riots, didn't you? Which was a song, which was again a pen to your hometown. But was it easy to make a complete album sort of based around the theme of London? Did it all come easily?
I think the whole album, I wouldn't say it's all totally around the theme of London. I think there's certain songs, for example, that one, which is called London, which are pretty clearly about London. But I feel as much as anything, the album is about being a troubadour, being a travelling musician. And being from London is a big part of that, because I mean, if you could just walk down any street in London and there's stories everywhere, you can go into pubs, you can go into shops, you can just hear people talking, and before you know it, there's songs just out there. You just got to write them all down. So I think the album, as much as anything, is about being a troubadour, but London is a central theme, definitely.
Mm.
I think it was an allergic reaction to America, to be honest. I think that's what it was.
if it's an allergic reaction to America, why do you choose Austin to actually make the album?
No, I mean, I actually loved going to America. It was great. It was. I'm just being funny, but the reason I went to Austin was the producer, a guy called Mark Holman, and a studio is called Congress House Studio, and we I love working with him. He's an amazing producer. He's produced Carole King and Eliza Gilkerson, Ruthie Foster. The list goes on and on. Mm. And, there's just a really great connection with him. And I love the way we work. We have all the instruments set up in different rooms. We have guitars set up. We have grand piano set up. We have different vocal mics set up for specific things, harmonica mics going through different amps, all set up, ready to go. So we can record incredibly quick, and I like that. I like moving fast between.
So you wander from room to room, laying down different tracks, basically.
Yeah, it's pretty intense. We kind of by the end of it, we drive each other mad, and it's all pretty intense. And I love that. I love working in that way, because it's, you don't know what's going to happen next. You know, it's like, oh, I've got a great idea, I'll just put it down. So yeah.
And does he kind of follow what your wishes are, or is it very much a kind of meeting of two minds with sort of discussions and arguments and things, changes along the way?
I think the second one is, it's definitely a meeting of minds with arguments and whatnot.
Right.
I like that. I think you need, you know, you need kind of sparks, if you like. There needs to be kind of moments when everyone's thinking, oh, I don't agree with that. And because it matters, you know, when you make an album, it's forever, you know, you can't turn back and say, oh, you know, I wish I'd have done this when it's out, you know. So.
Yes.
We've had, you know, it's been great. It's been, as I said, very intense. We have, you know, instruments coming in and out. I felt with the last album, Love Against Death, I was just learning. We were just learning each other. And I knew the minute we'd finished, I wanted to go back pretty soon and do another one. Because
right.
I thought, right, I'm just starting to understand each other. So
the love affair has started. Now is the time to consummate it, kind of stuff.
Yeah, we were just getting, you know, used to working with each other and bringing in instruments, bringing in guitars. And he's got great tones on different guitars. He knows about different ways of setting up amps, and it's just great. And there's lots of fun toys to play with as a musician.
And so you learn quite a lot when you're there, I guess.
Oh, loads. Mm. I'm still, you know, you still learn. There's loads to learn. I mean, I've been gigging now since I was 17. I'm 29 now, so what's that, 12 years?
And yes.
I mean, even after that time, it feels like a lifetime. There's stuff, you know, I've got loads to learn. There's loads of musicians that I want to play with and have played with, and it's like, wow, you know, when you play with someone like Mark Holman and, you know, Danny Thompson, this album, you learn so much. So
I'm almost 40 years ahead of you, and I promise you keep on learning all the time. It doesn't, it never stops, so honestly.
It's
always there, you know. But in terms of the material for the album, did you go out with it all pre-written, and or did you have to kind of add some more stuff in situ?
All except that song, actually. That London song wasn't going to be on it. I'd written all the lyrics were all done for it. But I knew I wanted a sort of song that was kind of called London. And we were drinking Bullet Bourbon, I think, one night. Or a few nights, actually.
As you do.
And we were talking about songs. And, you know, we were talking about co-writing. And he said, oh, you know, I'd love to co-write. And I said, well, I've got this song. And I got, you know, but it's missing a chord. I can't, you know, I had the riff that kind of... That riff,
yes.
You know, the kind of... And I really liked that. I had that riff for a long time, for maybe 8 or 9 years, actually.
Right.
And I could never do anything with it except these lyrics, and I liked them. But the chorus wasn't quite there, you know.
Mm.
And he showed me this really nice chord. It's like a... It's this chord. That kind of partial F or something, I don't know. I'm not too sure what it is. But it was nice. It could kind of come out of it. And then the first bit of the chorus is like that.
Yes.
And then it comes down to that. And I just really liked that. It kind of held the song. And his... the whiskey kind of informed that chord, I think. And so yeah, he kind of really helped with the kind of structure of the song, and he put a bit of piano on it at the beginning that he didn't remember doing in the morning, but it sounded great. we tried to record it actually when we were pretty lit, and it just sounded awful. We listened the next day and I was like, this is why you don't get hammered unless you Keith Richards. But you know, it just sounded terrible, so we, you know, sobered up the next day and put it down properly
again.
And it was good. So that was the only song that was brought in over there. The rest were all written and ready to go. So
exactly.
Yeah.
What are you going to do for us next?
Well, this is an exclusive for the Raven the Blue Show.
Whoa.
This is
thank you.
I know.
Yeah.
This is
not on the album then. No.
Well, I tried to record this, but I'm going to keep trying because I've been trying to get this song right for a few years. This song was inspired by going to Texas. It's called Texas Boogie. Texas is full of amazing musicians and songwriters, as you know, people like Stevie Ray Vaughan and Ruthie Foster and Johnny Copeland and various people. And this song in kind of attempts to cram all of their names into 3 minutes.
But isn't Austin untypical of Texas? I mean, Austin,
yeah, I think so. It's funny because I went through Houston Airport, and when you travel through Houston Airport, they do an announcement and they say, when being asked security questions, please refrain from using humor as it may result in your arrest. So don't crack any jokes through customs. But American people are lovely. It's just customs is a bit scary. But this song is, this is exclusive. I've never played this apart from gigs.
Heaven shined every time he played. We're gonna rock it all night long. We're gonna rock it all night long. We're gonna rock it till our backs ain't got no bone. Vance out of hurt himself. I see a Towns Vance I hurt him say, to live is to fly, come on me. We're gonna rock it to the rhythm and we move it to the beat. Rock it to the bass on our Congress Street, oh that old Texas boogie's divine. It don't matter if you lit on that whiskey or the wine. Johnny Copeland, he sang the blues so well. Oh, now Johnny Copeland sang the blues so well. He got us all right under his magic spell. Raven blues to sing you the blues. I came all the way to the Raven blues to sing you the blues. With a little bit of Texas boogie for you. We're gonna rock it to the rhythm and move it to the beat. Rock it to the bass and on a concrete street. Oh, that old Texas boogie so fine. It don't matter if you let on that whiskey or the wine.
Texas Boogie, it's called?
Texas Boogie.
Yeah. Thank you so much for that. Very nice.
Did that record? Was all good?
Yes.
All good? Great.
All good, yes. In terms of when we first met, I was either in the first session you did here or the second. I said you were very much to me a poet who wrote music as well.
Thank you.
And And you used the word troubadour there before, which is very much, again, the similar kind of thing. Is your writing changing as you get older and wiser?
I don't know how to wise a bit, but yeah, no, definitely, all the time, all the time. I think every album has been like a kind of a development in what I do. I feel like the songs kind of choose you rather. I don't really go out looking for, think, oh, I'm going to write an album about this, I'm going to write a song about that. It's just kind of listening, seeing stuff and thinking, right, you know, I like that. I like the feel of that. And but I think every album, every time I play a gig or I play with another musician or I go and record, I think it's moving forward and it's gathering momentum and it's kind of finding influences. I think the key is not being scared of going into different situations. I did a folk festival on the weekend and I found myself in a jamming jig session, which was terrifying. I have to be honest. I didn't have a clue what to do. They were like, you know, play a jig in A flat, and I was just like, I've never even been in A flat. Probably have and not realised, but it was totally different than anything I've done.
Yes.
And similarly with, you know, friends who play blues, I've ended up jamming with them and thought, you know, I'm not, you know, but it.
Something I was going to come to a bit later on, but we'll do it now. You do kind of cross genres, don't you? I mean, because I see you at different kinds of festivals, publicised and things. And basically, yes, you do folk, you can do blues, you do kind of world music. I mean, you are very much sort of cross all the genres, aren't you?
Thanks. Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. I mean, all my heroes have done that, from John Martin to Tom Waits, Richie Havens, Eric Bibb. I mean, not, you know, Van Morrison, Joni Mitchell. They all... None of them are a genre, really.
No.
You know, they're all their own people. And so, yeah, I hope so. That's what I'm aiming for. That's the plan. So, I mean, I'm hoping to cut... You know, I love different kinds of music. I've got, you know, from, you know, blues to folk to rock, all kinds of stuff. Yeah.
This album, to me, seems to be slightly more positive in its tone than the one...
The last one was pretty dark, yeah. I think anything was going to be more positive than that.
That's true, yes. And do you feel your writing goes like that in sort of waves? I mean, could the next one... Is it going to be like a sine wave going up and then perhaps down again?
I couldn't tell
you. You've got no control.
I'm not sure yet. No. I don't know. I mean, it's still pretty dark, this album. I mean, the stuff I'm writing about, it's never going to be happy-clappy ever, I don't think. I hope not. It's still pretty dark stuff. I think.
Well, if you're wanting to try and change people's perception and change people's ideas, it's never going to be happy clappy, is it?
No, you're right. I mean, I love music and art that challenges you and makes you think. Oh, you know, that's different. That's someplace I've never been before. And as I said, all my heroes do that. And I think that, you know, for me, that's a trademark of great art is when you're taken someplace new. Yeah, I think with every album, I'm aiming for that, and I think definitely the last three albums, four albums since Calcutta Grove, which was 2009, I think I'm really proud of them. I think the albums really hold up well, and this one I think is definitely the best by quite a long way. I think they've all kind of, you know, been a step towards this one. I think this one is it's got all the kind of influences that I wanted, you know.
Yes.
From, like, for example, it finishes with a spoken word piece. I've been trying to do that for years and thinking, you know, it's really hard, and I've spent years writing that specific piece.
Yes.
And eventually...
This was the album to put it on.
Yeah, eventually it got there after many attempts in demos and verses, getting rid of verses, bringing verses in, editing, just constantly working on this piece. I think it finally got there, so...
When you're working live, how much of your set... also goes back to the earlier albums, Love Against Death and the like, or is most of your set the current stuff?
I never have a set list ever. I'm really, even today when I came to do this, I was kind of changing my mind on the way here, thinking, what should I do?
But hang on a minute, you're working with other people now. I mean, you know, it's not just Sean Tedder on his own, you've actually got somebody else with you, which must be very confusing for them.
Yeah, so. They're constantly complaining. It drives them mad, actually. And I've working with, and there's kind of two musicians I'm kind of working with. There's a drummer I work with, a guy called James Taylor, who's no relation.
Yeah.
And he's not the James Taylor, believe it or not. And he's amazing. He's a classical drummer, and he's incredible. He can do really amazingly, you know, unique things with the drums, and he reacts incredibly quickly to what I do, which is the sort of musician I really want to work with.
So you can just throw to him and he picks it up straight away.
Yeah. And we had a set list, and I quite often changed it, so I think he's just got to kind of get used to me, really. And then the other musician I'm about to work with and about to play gigs with is Danny Thompson.
Yeah,
and he can definitely improvise, so he's spent his career doing that. So they're the kind of musicians I like. And I play with people around London, but it's more jamming. So,
Do you feel a different responsibility, a different kind of feeling on stage when you're with a couple of other guys? Because, I mean, you're so so used to being on your own, aren't you? And being your own boss and being on your own everything. I mean, do you feel a new, like a band leader now, do you?
No. I just look on it as really good fun, actually. It's not, I don't see it as a... No, it's just good fun. You're with someone, you're playing off someone, you're enjoying the music together. And I find it very... You suddenly find the songs going places that you never thought they'd go. And it's great. I mean, I still love playing solo. I still love that as well. So I enjoy both. I don't think there's one I enjoy more than the other. Mm. And there's lots of musicians I'd like to play with.
So they are.
I'll hunt them down one by one.
Add them to your list. Yes.
Hopefully, yeah.
What are you going to do next?
I'm going to just get into a strange tuning. Chasing sweet candy cane, you know, and all my bodies and all my brains. You do it once, crave it twice. This London white keeps us up tonight. She's so fine. So vain, so vain.
A blade, some rest on the tracks of our skin with the coldest of ice. We will rejoice in our sins. She's so fine.
along the inside of your thigh. Dig your nails so deep into my spine. Black jaw, sweat on my brow, she's so fine. So fine, she tastes like a wine. So fine, so fine. I love her so fine, she tastes like a wine. I look her fine, she tastes like a wine. Look her fine.
So fine, my favourite track on the album.
Thank you.
Chase the Night. Performed live on the Raven and the Blues with no overdubs, nothing extra, just a kind of a spectre-ish wall of sound created from, I'm not a technical kind of guy, but can you talk me through exactly what you're using to create that sort of, that kind of wall of sound with just in one track kind of thing?
Very simple, actually. It's not, I mean, what I'm actually using is just a delay pedal. I've got a DD3 Boss delay pedal. Mm-hmm. That's very simple to use. And I've got an inbuilt preamp in my guitar, a thing called an acoustic DSP, which is just a bit of reverb in the guitar. So yeah. It's not nothing too swish. There's no loops. I've never used loops.
Right.
They're cool. They're really good, but I've never kind of got to grips with them.
But it sounded like there's loops in there, doesn't it, really?
No, there's not. Yeah. It's just delay and a good bit of rhythm going on. Nice. And a strange tune. I'm in Dad Gad, which is a guitar tuning invented by Davy Graham.
Right.
The great folk, blues, jazz guitarist.
Mm. Is he still alive?
I don't think. I can't. I'm not going to say yes or no.
No, because the last time I
shouldn't guess.
Last time I.
I don't think so.
No, he was very, very ill last time, so I think he was
incredible guitarist.
Yes,
really good. Yeah.
And if his name is new to you, dig out some old David Graham stuff back from the 60s and 70s.
For sure,
it's special stuff. Sure. But it must take a certain amount of. A lot of practice to be able to layer that in one layer kind of thing and get it right. I mean, you obviously...
Yeah, well, it's funny how that song actually happened was over the last 12 years, I've done some really amazing gigs, but I've also done some really strange ones, some really, really bizarre venues that have been kind of really inappropriate, really, in some ways for music, but then you get there and it turns out good. And I went through this period a few years ago of doing these gigs in raves in London, doing hard house.
Right.
And trance raves, and they'd have a chill out room where they'd have some live music, and they'd put me on with just a guitar, and they'd say play from I'd get the graveyard shift from 3 till 6 in the morning, and the audience would be pretty
stoned people.
Well, and more energetic, as you say.
Yes.
the euphoric crowd.
Yeah.
And I kind of worked out that the key thing was to have the right pedals. You had to just have a delay pedal and just kind of go, it's not on, is it? Do that for 3 hours, and they just things like that. You could, but out of that kind of riffing and weird, weird progressions and whatnot, I kind of had this riff, the So Fine riff, kind of going on, and it was kind of like a train type rhythm. And,
yes.
That song happened out of that, just 3 hours of jamming to the euphoric crowd. So it's euphoric blues.
Right. So like many songwriters, bits of songs lurk in your brain or on your iPad or whatever, and till that time is right.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, you'll get a bit of one idea and put it down, and then you'll get other ideas, and then you'll think one thing's going one place, and before you know it, the two ideas have clashed into each other, and you've got a song. I think the key is just to get it all down. Record and write as much as you can, because if you lose it, if you miss out on the chance, you can't get it back.
Some people say that as an artist, you can't really have control of your career or what you do because you're an artist and you're literally in the hands of the other being which drives you. Yeah. And if you're trying to control things, you're a businessman sort of thing, But do you feel at all in sort of a direction you're heading in, or are you just allowing the earth to take its...
I think the key for me is that, there's so much great music in the world, and there's so much great music around. It's just, unfortunately, a lot of the mainstream music is... inherently awful because it's dominated by people like Simon Cowell and the Devil and all that.
So the album isn't officially out yet. It's out in a week or so, is it?
23rd of September it is released, distributed via Proper, and it is available on the tour. I'm touring through September. My next gig is on the 17th of September, the Wems Fest in Emsworth near Chichester.
Right.
And then I'm off to do, I'll be out this from memory, 27th of September, I'm doing the Pocklington Arts Centre in York, a lovely venue. And then I'm doing the 4th of October in Ulverston in the Lake District. It's kind of, the tour's kind of spread out, but there's lots of bits of, you know, media and radio in between. Then I'm doing the Crispin Inn in Kent. And then I'm doing a day on, that's on the 11th. And the 12th, I'm doing Leamington Spa.
Oh, right.
And the 19th, I'm living... Look at this, it's pretty impressive.
It's very impressive.
I hope I got this right, by the way.
Dear listener, there's no iPad, there's no phone here, there's no bits of paper. This is just short.
I was on a roll then. I've probably lost it,
David. Sorry.
No, I'm doing the 19th of October, Liverpool Irish Festival.
NLP lovers would love this, because you're going to the recall section with your eyes to get the memory of what
I know.
Things are.
Yeah. There's no... I've got... Anyway, Liverpool Irish Festival, 19th. And then I've got a couple of very special gigs in... on the 23rd of October, I'm playing with Danny Thompson at the Half Moon in Putney, and on the that'll be good. And then the 25th, I've got two more. Sorry, 25th, I'm playing on the Farnham Maltings with Danny Thompson,
and
then one more, which is the November the 2nd gig in Newcastle.
Right.
So that's it. That hopefully that was all right.
Yeah.
But it's all at SeanTaylorSongs.com.
That's the next thing. If you didn't get that and didn't scribble it down, SeanTaylorSongs.com. Now, for those of you who aren't going to be able to see you at gigs, the American audience, all the people who are out of the country, it's through Proper Records, but also available on all the usual outlets like iTunes and things as well.
Amazon, iTunes, all that sort of jazz. And I've got,
And buy the album, don't buy single MP3s.
I've never downloaded music. I have to be honest. I've never done it. I think everyone. I don't even have an iPod.
Right.
How about that for an honest? I don't. So buy the CD at a gig.
At a gig, then you'll get it signed.
You will.
Then you can get also all the back catalogue as well, and then trace the change in the career path of Sean Taylor.
The CDs sound even better when you buy them at gigs. Actually, there's a special special coating that I put on them, so you have to come to gigs.
A special gig mix CD,
for sure.
We first met 4 years ago, I guess it is. It's been a joy to have you back, Sean.
Thank you,
the album is lovely, and we look forward to the next one in what, another 18 months, 2 years time, roughly.
I'm not recording. I can't have a plan. I've got songs happening all the time. I've written a load of new songs recently. But when I record it, it's kind of economics. Also to do with where I'm working. I've got a lot of festivals booked into next year, a lot of European gigs lined up, some gigs in France and Spain. So, you know, when there's a few months spare and I've got some money to do it, I'm ready to rock and roll again.
It's good. There is a kind of voracious demand from the audience at the gigs, isn't there? They'll say, when they see you again, I've already got that one, Sean, thank you. Have you got anything new? And you think, oh, no, I haven't.
It's true. I played a great gig up on the weekend in Scotland, and they were really nice. People buying, you know, all six of the albums.
Yeah.
People, you know, had four, and people bought four of the albums. So that was really nice. So.
You need a live album, don't you, really?
I do, I guess. I'd have to, I'm trying to think about live albums I really like. I'm not sure how many I would pick out. I always think they're a bit of a... I like going to the gig, but the live album, it always feels a bit...
Now, I think you're seeing it from the musician point of view, but from the audience. I mean...
People like that,
Who's just... Joe Bonamassa has just released... This is marketing. Four live albums, four different venues, same tracks on each one.
Right.
But obviously the person who was at the venue is going to buy the album that they were at and say, I was there, that's my voice in the crowd. You know, it's the John Martin May You Never moment, you know?
It's pretty clever, yeah.
It is clever marketing, yes. But I mean, I think if you haven't got a live album, it's something which people are going to say, you know, but the whole experience, if you can somehow get it... captured. And most venues have got somebody, even though they won't admit it, they've got something recording when you're on stage, you know.
I've heard some really nice live recordings of what I've done, but it's a question of, you know, the right venue, right? And I've still got songs happening. That's the other thing. There's still songs happening, so as long as I've got songs happening, I want to put them down. I could do a live album of all new songs. That'd be crazy. I said, I'm sure someone's done that at some point,
but I guess so, yeah. Or was their first album? I think Ainsley Lister had... No, that wasn't his first album. But yes, I mean, lots of permutations. But anyway, we throw that in the mix. What are you going to finish with?
Well, I did a song. I've done a song here before, and I'm going to do it again because it's my favourite blues song. It's by Skip James, who is my favourite blues singer, probably. I'd have to pick him out. He did a song during the Great Depression. It's called Hard Time Killing Floor Blues, and he wrote it during the Great Depression, so I'm thinking I can perform it for the next 15 years and it'll probably have some relevance to it.
And I guess because it's going to be different, there's a couple of years in between when you did it the last time and now, it's going to be different as well in the way that you're performing it, isn't it?
I hope so, but we'll find out. I'll tell you in 3.5 minutes, yeah. David.
Times here, everywhere I go. Times is so bad, like never been before. Oh, 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 oh. People are drifting from door to door. Can't find heaven, I don't care where they go. Oh, 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 oh. Killing flow. Times is so bad, like they never been before. Oh, 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 oh. I say, you got money, gotta be sure. Some hard times gonna drown you out so long. You got, no matter what you choose, it's a hard time killing flow.